Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The Book of Business, Selling Fish in the Water and Birds in the Air. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalam ala Rasulihi al-Kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi wasallam. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa zidna ilman wa fiqhan fi deen. أسأل الله تعالى أن يوفقنا لما يحب ويرضى اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وحكمة وصلى الله على محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد respected brothers in Islam السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته May Allah reward you and I'd like to welcome you to tonight's class on the rulings or the fiqh of the business transactions. And inshallah we're coming towards the end of the chapter on the prohibited types of sales. And one of the general principles in the Islamic law, which we've been discussing over the last few classes, is the prohibition of any sale that involves uncertainty. The prohibition of any type of sale that involves the uncertainty. And last week, or the previous lesson, we spoke about the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ in which he prohibited the catch of the diver. Somebody, in the old days, they used to have people who would work as divers. They would stay by the ocean and they would dive and search for oysters. And sometimes they would open an oyster and find pearls. Sometimes they would find the oysters and there would be nothing inside of them. So they would, it was actually an occupation where they would go and dive in the ocean and collect the oysters and return back to the shore. And whatever they found, they would sell it to the people. So the Prophet ﷺ, he prohibited the catch of a diver, selling the catch of a diver. Meaning that a person comes to the shore and he sees a diver and he says, I would like to buy whatever you catch in this dive. Whether he finds an oyster, whether the ones he finds has pearls in them or whether they're empty. He says, I will give you $10 for whatever you catch in this dive. This is prohibited. What is the reason why it's prohibited? Why did the Prophet prohibit it? Yes?
He might go down and only get one instead of a whole bunch.
Okay.
Or he might put a pearl in there.
Okay.
Maybe he can get more than 10.
But why is that prohibited? Why did the Prophet prohibit it?
Not fair to the diver.
Not fair? Well, what if the diver doesn't find anything? So then he'll get a... It could be in the favor of the diver, right? Because he might not find anything, but he still makes some money. Otherwise he would have went down and got nothing from that dive. Or he could find a lot of pearls and he only charged a little bit of money for that dive. And all of that profit will go to the man who purchased the dive. So here, the reason why it's prohibited is that the outcome of that sales transaction is unknown. The outcome of what that person who bought that dive, the outcome of it is unknown. It could be in the favor of the buyer, or it could be against him. He might make a lot of money from that dive, or he might not. He might lose money on the dive. However, the reason why it's prohibited is not that he could make money or he loses money. The reason why it's prohibited is due to the outcome of the dive being unknown. So that would mean that when a person, he paid the diver, he said, whatever you catch in this dive will belong to me, and I pay you $10, then he's buying something whose outcome is unknown. And so if the diver gets a lot of oysters with a lot of pearls, he will be very happy. But if he finds nothing, he would be disappointed by that sale. And he might even feel that it was unfair, the brother said, or it might lead to a dispute. So whenever there's a transaction whose outcome is unknown, the Islamic law prohibits this type of transaction. And the reason being that it could lead to two parties having a conflict. It could lead to a conflict afterwards. This is one of the reasons behind that. So the Islamic law prohibited that. Similar to that, we mentioned was the if a person he's a fisherman and he throws a net and somebody comes to him and he says, here's $10, whatever your net catches, I'll buy it for $10. So the fisherman, he throws the net. Is this allowed to do that? To buy whatever the catch of the net is?
The outcome is the same.
Outcome is unknown. He might pull the net back and there's nothing inside. He might catch a whale. And that would suffice the fisherman for his whole year of sustenance, but he only made $10 from that. So again, the outcome being unknown, the Prophet ﷺ forbade the transaction when the outcome of the transaction is unknown. What is this called in Arabic? Gharar. Gharar. It means being uncertain about that outcome. The third example they give is the arrow of a hunter. The arrow of a hunter. So a person, he has an arrow, and a hunter, and a man comes to him and tells the hunter, whatever you hit with your arrow, I buy it for $10. So this again, the person shoots the arrow. Is it certain what he's going to catch with that arrow? What is he going to hit?
Probably end up in a tree.
Yeah. If he hits the tree, then the man bought nothing. Or if he hits a very prized and very valuable deer or something like that. So again, the outcome is unknown. And the last example of the ulama they also mentioned is similar to like a hunter. Again, he sets a trap. So then a man comes and he says to the hunter, here is, I'm buying, I'll pay you $10 and whatever the trap catches belongs to me. So then the person buying it, he doesn't know what the trap is going to catch. It might catch what he expected, a deer, or it might catch a wolf or something else that is not of value. Okay, so here we see that again these transactions of Prophet ﷺ forbade all of them because the outcome is unknown, uncertain. Now, alhamdulillah. So we go to the next hadith, inshallah, which is the final section of this chapter on the conditions and the prohibited types of sales. And here we find some specific types of transactions that the Prophet ﷺ forbade. Some specific examples. Even those, these examples, they fall under the general heading of selling what is unknown. The outcome is unknown. But the Prophet ﷺ gave some specific examples, and the author mentioned them here to make the point very clear, to clarify the point and give us, inshallah, a very clear understanding of the principle. And as later on, the examples might differ, but the concept remains the same. Now, the examples that are mentioned in the Sunnah, they might be different today, but the concept behind them will remain consistent. So here we find, inshallah, the next hadith, we'll find that the Prophet ﷺ, he forbade selling the wool while it's still on the sheep, and the milk while it's still in the udders. I think we mentioned this one previously as well. And also the fish in the water, while it's still in the water, selling the fish while it's in the water, and selling the bird while it's in the air. Somebody selling a bird while it's in the air. And there are some other examples, selling something buried under the ground before one has taken possession of it or received it. So the hadith for today will only cover the first hadith or the first example, which is?
Sometimes
yes.
People tell the tree, for example, the fruit, so before the fruit comes,
yes.
They
yes.
tell the tree that whatever the tree grows this year.
Very good. Very jazakallah khair. Yes, this is actually one of the things that are mentioned in the hadith, which is selling the fruit before it becomes ripe. Selling the fruit before it comes ripe, and maybe we'll mention that the rule in the hands on that, inshallah ta'ala, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Okay, so the hadith for today is a very short hadith. Maybe all of us can memorize it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Alhamdulillah, salatu wasalam ala Rasulullah. وعن ابن مسعود قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تشتروا السمك في الماء فإنه غرر رواه أحمد. نعم. وأشار إلى أن الصواب وقفه. Here Ibn Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, he said that the Prophet ﷺ said, do not sell the fish inside of the water because it is uncertain. The hadith is narrated by Imam Ahmad. Now, okay, so here the author, actually the commentator, Shaykh Atiyah Muhammad Salim, he says as we get to the end of the chapter of the sales, he reminds us that the prohibited transactions is one of the most important aspects of the Islamic law in terms of worship, because all of our worship is based upon, or it's affected by, whether we buy and sell correctly. For example, every person, he has to buy and sell food. Either he sells it or he buys it. Every person wears clothes or he sells it. Every person, he buys drink or he sells it. If he buys food or drink in a haram way, then his body is being nourished by something that Allah prohibited. And the Prophet ﷺ said, every morsel of food, it produces the flesh or the bone or the blood. And so if the food is from haram, then the body is being produced from haram. And the Prophet ﷺ said, every piece of flesh that grows from haram, the hellfire has more right to it. So you see the importance of learning what is prohibited. And also, the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned about a man who was covered in dust. And he had dust in his hair, holding his hands up, calling to Allah. But then he said, how will Allah accept the dua of this man when his eating is from haram and his drinking is from haram and his clothing is from haram? So the Shaykh, he wanted to point out the importance of this. Is one of the most important chapters in the fiqh of buying and selling, what is prohibited by Allah Ta'ala. And then he finishes the chapter with the types of uncertainty, and one of these types is selling the fish in the water. Selling the fish in the water. Why is it prohibited to sell a fish when he's still in the water? If there's a fish, and say there's a small pond, and there's a fisherman, and he says, I'm going to... They see a fish in the water, swimming by, and a man comes and he tells... They make a deal with the fisherman. That fish, I will buy it, but it's still in the water. He hasn't caught it yet. Is this allowed? To sell it while it's still in the water? Yes, good. Here the ulama, they mention it's there's two points. It's uncertain. Somebody said it's uncertain, right? What is uncertain about it? That's number one. The inability to deliver it. The inability. He may not, it's uncertain whether he'll be able to catch it or not. It could be that he tries to catch it, but it swims away. So, number one is the inability to... he's selling something that it's uncertain whether he can actually get it and then sell it to the person or give it to the person. So he's selling something before he actually took possession of it, which is not allowed in Islamic law. He's selling something and it's uncertain whether he can actually get the possession of it in order to give it to the person he sold it to. So that's number one, the uncertainty in the ability to get the fish. There's another type of uncertainty. That there's another reason why it's not allowed to sell the fish in the water. Can you think of the reason? Say the fish is not in a big...
Size may not be the...
That's correct. That's correct. What the scholars, they said, is that water, it refracts the light. So depending on the angle of the light, the fish could look much larger than it is in the water when a person looks at it, or it could be smaller than it really is. So the person is selling, if a person were to sell the fish while it's still in the water, then he would be selling a fish that it's not really known what its true size and its true weight is. So therefore it would be selling something whose true size and true description and true characteristics are not really known. And again, this is a type of uncertainty that the Prophet ﷺ, he forbade. One interesting thing, these two reasons. One, he's not guaranteed that he can get it. And number two, it's not guaranteed that he can correctly, that the size would be correctly understood. And another example they give is selling the bird in the air, which is similar to the fish in the water. Selling the bird when it's flying in the air. Say there's a hunter or a person and there's a flock of birds. And the person, he says, he tells the hunter, I will buy. The hunter points out at certain birds. He says, I want these birds, these 10 birds that you see flying while they're still in the air. So a man, he tells the hunter, he makes a sale of the birds that are in the air. Is this allowed to do that?
No.
What are the reasons why? Or what is the reason why?
They might get away.
The birds might fly away before he can capture them. That's number one. Number two?
The bird is different size.
He might not be able to describe the birds correctly, or he might not be able to capture the birds that were agreed upon. He might get a different bird, or they might get mixed up. There might be smaller birds that were with the larger birds, and because he was not able to capture the ones or describe them correctly, then they would not be able to produce the thing that they had agreed upon. However, there's some detail that the ulama mentioned, that there's some specifics that are mentioned. They say if the fish is in a small bowl, if it's in a small bowl, and if there's more than one fish, they're different colors. So it's easy for the buyer to say, I want this fish, the red fish, and it's easy for the person to catch it because it's in a restrained area, restricted area. In this case, is it allowed to sell the fish in that manner?
Yes.
Why?
Only capture already. There's nothing unknown. Everything's known.
The reason why it wasn't allowed is the possibility of not being able to capture or to get the fish to sell it. But now, since it's within his container, it's as if he owns it already and he's able to produce it to sell. So that uncertainty is taken away. The second type of uncertainty, which is, can he get that certain fish? Now he can point out the exact fish that he wants. I want the red fish, or the yellow fish, or the golden color fish. He can get the exact one that he wants. But there still remains the problem of, what if the water makes the size of the fish look differently. So when he buys the fish, when they take it out of water, it's much smaller than he had thought. Isn't that still a problem? So here the ulama, they said that the person can buy the fish on the condition that when he takes it out of the water, it is the size that he had estimated it to be. And if it turns out to be smaller, then he has the option to cancel out the sale or make the sale complete. So then it would be allowed. This is one example of when they would allow it to sell the fish in the water. Similarly, the bird. I don't know if any of you are familiar. There's certain birds, there's certain pigeons that people, they raise the pigeons, and Hamza and Mariam. Muaz, can you take the umbrella, please? Can you take the umbrella? Jazakallah khair. Sorry about that. Now, there's certain pigeons that there's certain people that breed pigeons. And these pigeons, they go out during the day, and they come right back to their home at night, always. They're very well-trained pigeons. They never fly away. They fly away during the day, but then they come back to the owner every night. They're very well-trained pigeons. He has the ability to, those pigeons are going to return to him. So if one of the pigeons is flying in the air, or he's on a tree, and a buyer, he says, I really like this pigeon. I like the color of it, and I really want to buy this pigeon. Is he allowed to go to the owner and buy it in that case? When the owner knows that the pigeon will come home at night and he'll be able to catch it and give it. In this case, is it allowed to sell it? In this case, it would be allowed because he knows that when it comes home at night, he's going to give it to the buyer. And also he's able to point it out the proper color or to make sure that the exact pigeon that is wanted would be captured. Now, so this is some of the examples here where it would be allowed to sell a bird in the air or the fish in the water. The last part, inshallah, of the lesson is similar to what we talked about, the fish in the water and the bird in the air. And it's that we can summarize or understand from these texts, Hamza, Marin, please, that selling what is uncertain in two ways. Either uncertain in its ability to be owned so that it could be sold, or uncertain in the characteristics. What are the true weight, the true size, the color, the description? If these things are uncertain, then it would be prohibited. And now, so this is this would apply, and we mentioned this previously. This would also apply. Say somebody had a car, and the car was taken away by another person, stolen, and the car is found in another place or in a different territory, and the owner, he cannot reach that car. It's in a faraway land. Say somebody stole a car and took it to Mexico. And the owner, he's not able to go there to retrieve his car. But, so is he allowed to sell that car?
No.
He can't sell it to somebody because he's not able to go and produce it. But now, say that somebody comes and he says, I have some friends in Mexico. They can get the car. So if you sell it to me, I will send my people to retrieve the car. Now, is it still forbidden to sell it to him? It's still forbidden?
No.
In this case, this is one of the exceptions to the rule. You don't have the ability to give it to him, but the other person does. So in this case, it's an exception to the rule. You are allowed to sell it because the other party who's buying it, they have the ability to get it, even though you don't. And it's sufficient for them to have the ability. It's sufficient to sell it because they can get it. And the important thing is that they would have the ability to retrieve the item. If they went and they tried to retrieve the car but they couldn't get it, then the people have a right to go back to the seller and get their money refunded. So this would be allowed in this case. And also, one other example of selling something that you don't have the ability to deliver is if somebody, say some authority or some person were able to take something you own by force. They took away your house, they took away a car or some possession, and then somehow you were able to communicate with them and work out a sale. So that person wants to buy an item, but you don't have control of it anymore, but he has control over it. Are you allowed to sell that thing to the person who took it away from you?
No control over it.
You don't have control over it, but he does.
Yeah.
Same thing as the car. Compare the car.
Right. So it would be allowed. It would be allowed to sell it to him.
He has control if you agree on that.
But it's wrong, right? He took it by force.
He took it by force. You're also correct. He will still be sinful on the day of judgment for taking it away by force, but the contract of selling it to him is valid because it's as if the item is already delivered. He already has the item. You don't have to deliver it. He already has it in his possession. So you don't need to have control over it in order to give it to him. He already has it. So if you sell it to him, you're not selling something that it's unknown whether you'll be able to give it to him or not. He already has it. So it's guaranteed basically that he can get the item, and then it would be allowed to sell it, even though you yourself don't have the item anymore, but it's allowed to sell it to him, inshallah. So this is a hadith of the prohibition of selling fish in the water or the birds in the air. Now, and just to summarize, there's one last lesson. We have a couple minutes left. Excuse me. Another example they give is the ship. There's a ship on the ocean. You have some items. You're expecting them to come on the ship, and you're going to get them from the port, and then you'll deliver them to the person. But the ship hasn't arrived yet. Is it allowed to sell the items before the ship arrives with your items?
You don't have any idea what the item is.
You can't deliver stuff yet.
That's right.
You cannot deliver.
You don't have control over the ship. The ship has not come into your possession yet. And the Prophet ﷺ forbade selling what you don't own. So you didn't really get it to sell it yet. You have to, not only do you have to own it, he could say, I bought it, I paid for it. But the Prophet ﷺ also forbade selling the item before you take it into your possession. So not only is it enough to say, I own those things on the ship, but we cannot sell it until we actually tasneem, before we actually take the item into our control. And then after that, the person can sell it. So if the items didn't arrive yet, he hasn't taken it into his full possession, as if his ownership is somewhat deficient. He doesn't have full authority yet. He owns it on paper, but he doesn't own it yet in terms of taking it into possession. So the Islamic law would say he has to take it into his warehouse first, and then he can sell it to other people, inshallah. The only exception to this, again, the last point here, is that if there's a company that he, like an agent that works for him, and the Sheikh mentioned a commercial insurance company. That commercial insurance company, they guarantee
delivery.
The delivery. They say if anything happens to the boat, it sinks, we have it covered. We guarantee you we're going to bring the items from that land and make sure it comes to your warehouse. Anything happens to it, we are responsible for it. In this case, is he allowed to sell it before it arrives?
Yes. Yes.
It's allowed.
Yes.
It's allowed now because it's insured by that company. That company, they have to make sure that the right type of ship is used. They don't overload the ship. They have to make sure that the right type of containers are used so the items don't get damaged in the container. They have to make sure the weather reports, they don't let the ship sail when it's a storm. That company is going to take all of these things into account and make sure that the items arrive. So in this case, it would actually still be allowed to sell the items as long as it's under the authority of his agent. Because the insurance company in this case is like an agent working for him. So when the insurance company takes possession of the items, it's as if he himself has taken possession, because they're his agents, they're working for him. Inshallah. So that was the last issue here. So here, the point is that selling something that is, for example, the booties of the war before being received, a gift before receiving it. Somebody says, I'm going to give you a watch. Before he gave you the watch, you sell the watch to somebody else. You have to receive it first before you can sell it. Charity before you receive it. You're supposed to receive charity at the beginning of the month. You can't give away the charity before you receive it, inshallah ta'ala. And so these three things one must be careful about. One is selling something before one fully owns it. Fully owns it means not only on paper, but also taking it into possession. Number two, which is another second condition, is he has to be able to deliver it to the person. So he has to own it, he has to be able to deliver it. And number three, that the characteristics of what he's selling should be known. They should know what exactly is being sold. If it's uncertain, the size or the color or the type or the quality or the make of an item, it cannot be sold in that way. It has to be owned, it has to be deliverable, and it has to be known in its qualities and characteristics. Inshallah, if this is done, then the sale will be free of uncertainty, inshallah. Allah knows best. Is that okay? Is there any question, inshallah?
Yeah, sure. Transaction in stock market. You don't buy nothing, you don't have nothing, but people start to sell.
Okay. Stock market or commodities?
Even commodities, when you buy something, you don't own nothing.
Okay.
You just pay for it.
Right, right. Buying what you don't own, or what somebody selling you something that he doesn't own or he doesn't have possession of, this is not allowed. So what they call selling on short, which means that you buy a commodity at some price in some future, based on some future expectations, which the ulama, they say this is not allowed to buy on short, which is basically you're trying to double your investment power. So you basically guess that the price of a commodity is going to go up. So you say, I will buy it at a future date for such a price without actually taking possession of those items or owning them. Basically, you're buying the difference in today's price to that date. You're buying the difference in price, where you don't actually buy the item itself, then this would not be allowed. This would not be allowed. In terms of buying stocks, stocks is a very intricate issue, because you have different issues. One is, theoretically, you're becoming a partner in the company when you buy the stock. You're buying a share of the company. So that's allowed in Islam, to do a partnership. But the problem comes in that when you have many, many companies that they have a mixture of halal and haram. They deal with riba. Almost all of the companies, they deal with interest. They invest their money in banks and they deal with interest. So very, very, without a doubt, any company whose core business is haram, which is alcohol, you know, things that are forbidden in Islam, we're not allowed to buy stocks in those companies. Companies whose core business is halal, say a computer business, but they have some percentage of haram, here's the scholars, they had some different interpretations. Some of them said that you shouldn't invest at all. Some of them said that they set a percentage. They said as long as this forbidden income is less than 30%, that is the majority of their income is from a permissible trade, then you can invest in them. And then some of them said you have to purify it. Like say they make 10% of their profit through interest, then you have to give away 10% of your profit as a purification. But it, inshallah, it would require a little bit more detail, inshallah. JazakAllah khair. Yes, brother.
Other question.
Yes.
Now, let's say someone is building a chimney.
Actually, okay.
Right? And, you know, you hire this person, and this person look at the structure of the work,
yeah,
right, and give you a quote and tell you, okay, it's going to cost you $5,000.
Right, right, yes.
And it's a matter of, you know, he just average it and see, is it compatible to the, like, the fish, where he doesn't even know how much the material, if it goes up or down, and when he comes, how much extra labor he's going to spend behind him.
Okay, here this is called istisna. There's in Islamic fiqh, say you go to a tailor, for example, and the tailor didn't make your clothes yet, but they give you the exact dimensions. This is the material we're going to use. This is the type of sewing we're going to do, the quality of the sewing. This is the shape, the color. Everything is described, but it's not made yet. So in this case, the scholars, they allowed that, because you have the complete description and you agree on that description and you can pay for it ahead of time, and then when it's produced it should match the description that was given in that case. They allow that, like a tailor or even building a house, for example. If you want a house and it's not built yet, but you can actually pay for it if the details and the specifications are given, and then afterwards it can be built for you according to the specifications that you gave. So we mentioned that in the book.
Either way, if that one is losing behind it or this one is losing behind it.
If what is that?
I think it's the same as eating a fish.
Oh, the fish. Oh, I see now.
It's
this is one of the right, right. Here, the case, they made an exception to this because, you know, the description there takes the place of actually seeing it in front of you. You know, you're describing it, and so the ulama, they allowed. Allowed that, provided that you know, the parties agree upon ahead of time, and they keep they produce the item in the way that it was agreed upon. But what if they produce it and there's a problem with it? So say they agreed upon a thobe or a robe or a shirt, and he gets the shirt and it's too short or it's too tight or it's the wrong color. So in this case, the buyer has a right to, or has a tear in it, or something like that. The buyer has a right to have it either corrected, or that the difference in the value should be paid. So if the material was too short, the robe was too short, according to what it was requested, then he can have the amount refunded. Or if there's a rip in it, however much that rip takes away from the value of the robe, then the tailor would have to return that back to the one who bought it, inshallah ta'ala. JazakAllah khair. May Allah reward you, inshallah. Any other questions? JazakAllah khair. Taqabbalallahu minna minkum salihal a'mal. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And inshallah, everybody give salam to at least three brothers before you leave, inshallah. So I want them good to give salam.